I'd like for you, if you would, to turn with us this morning to the book of Acts, the third chapter. And what you read verses 1 through 4. Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fasting his eyes upon them with John, said, "Look on us." Now the burden of our heart and the thought that I would like for us to consider as a subject this morning, look on us. Look on us. I'd like, first of all, to read some definitions for the word look. The dictionary says to look means to direct the eyes toward an object with the intention of seeing it. To look also means to gaze. And to gaze means to study, to muse, to ponder, to think deeply. To look means also to examine. And the word examine means to inspect or observe carefully. It means to weigh. Now here, a lame man laying at the gate of the temple. And of all places for this individual to be, why would he choose to lay at the gate or the entryway into the temple? Because the very entering in of the people into that temple was an outward testimony that they were worshipers of God, that they were servants of God, that they were children of the King. And who would be more apt to help this man than those who had contact with God? So here as Peter and John were entering into the temple, this man requested of them alms. And Peter and John, fastening their eyes upon this man, they instructed him, they invited him, they encouraged him to look on us.
Yes.
Now the very statement that they made of look on us, it implied and signified that we have something to offer you.
Yes.
We have something to impart, we have something to give, we have something to bestow upon you. And so that man responded in a positive way to that statement. He looked upon them, and he received to himself a precious and priceless blessing. Now we're living in a world today, dear ones, where multitudes upon multitudes of men and women and boys and girls are in a condition like this man was, lame.
Yes.
And I'm not simply speaking of just the physical lame. There are multitudes of precious souls that are lame mentally, spiritually, as well as physically.
Yes.
Let me read some definitions for the word lame. The dictionary said that lame means to be crippled. And crippled, in one sense, means that individual has been deprived of power.
Yes.
I thought about Samson. Here was a man of exceeding great strength, very strong individual. And this man had power over his enemies. But there come a time, dear ones, that Samson, through carelessness, through a lack of wisdom, he flirted, he played, he toyed with the enemy of his soul and with the agents of the enemy of his soul, and his enemy got an advantage of him, Samson was a Nazarite from his mother's womb, and it was commanded that his hair was never to be cut.
Yes.
This is where his strength lay, in obedience to God's divine word. To those vows of the Nazarite were never to be broken. But here Samson gave away the secret to his strength, and the enemy came in and cut his hair and deprived him of his power.
Yes.
When he disobeyed God,
yes,
God departed from him.
Yes.
And it left Samson as weak as any other man, and his enemy deprived him of his power.
Yes.
Samson was crippled. This man was lame. This man was left in a state of weakness. All right, the definition for lame also means to falter. And to falter means to fail in exertion. It means to be unsteady. Lame means to be defective. Faults, flaws, blemishes, imperfections. Many people's lives today are filled with defects,
yes,
flaws, imperfections. Lame also means impotent. And the word impotent means powerless,
yes,
helpless, nervous. I thought about the impotent man there at the pool of Siloam.
Yes.
This man was powerless, helpless. He was weak. At a certain season, an angel would come down from heaven and trouble the waters of that pool.
Yes.
And the first individual to step into those waters after they were troubled was healed of whatever disease or sickness they had.
Yes.
But this important man was powerless and helpless, and he had lain, I believe, about 38 years at that pool. But he said every time an angel would come down and trouble that water, and he would try to get down to the pool, someone would step down before him.
Yes.
He had no one to help him. He was powerless. Saints, we're living at a time that there are many lame and impotent people.
Yes.
Powerless, helpless people. In a spiritual sense.
Yes.
They have no nerves. They have no nerves to stand up against the wrong, and they have no nerve to stand up for what is right.
Yes.
But many of those souls are as the man that Peter and John dealt with. They're lying at the gateway to the temple, to the entrance to the church. Why? Because here are people that are testifying that they are servants of God. Here are people that are testifying that they are children of the King.
Yes.
And surely these people can help me.
Yeah.
Surely they can help me. So they're laying at the gate. But the question is, can you and I boldly instruct those individuals? Can we invite those individuals to look on us? We have something to offer you. We have something to impart to you. We have something to give to you. Can we, dear ones, with boldness, encourage those individuals to gaze at us? I'm inviting you to gaze at my life. I'm inviting you to study my life. I'm inviting you to examine my life and weigh it out by God's Word and by God's Spirit. And as a result of what you see in my life, the Christ in my life, and the things that Christ has done for me, you can receive to yourself a precious and priceless blessing.
Yes.
We have something to offer you. Direct your eyes upon my life. And as a result of what you see, I want it to arouse you, to stir you, to encourage you, to strengthen you, to provoke you to love and to good works, that you might receive of the blessings of God. Or are we afraid to invite people to look on us? Are we afraid to encourage precious souls to study my life and weigh my life out by the Word and by the Spirit?
spirit, lest that individual see in me some of the same weaknesses, some of the same lacks of power, some of the same important things that they have in their life. Look on us.
Yes.
In Psalms, the 40th chapter, verses 1 and 6, please. Peter and John had no fear to tell that man to look on us.
Amen.
We've got something to offer you. Every saint of God, every saint of God, from the newborn babe to the individual that have been saved alone, we should have something to offer the world.
Yes.
We should have something to offer to one another.
Amen.
And there should be no fear in us to encourage precious souls and invite them to gaze at our life.
Yes.
I want you to look at my life. I have something to give you. All right, Psalms 40, 22.
I waited patiently for the Lord.
He inquired unto me.
He heard my cry.
He brought me up.
Also out
of a horrible pit.
Out of
the miry clay. Set my feet upon a rock and established my goal. Read a little for me.
He has put a new song in my mouth.
Even praise to our God. Many shall see it.
And fear.
And trust in the Lord.
Blessed is the man.
Amen.
Yeah.
I believe that's good. Oh, listen. The writer said, look on us. We're living in a time when there are multitudes upon multitudes of men and women and boys and girls who are in a horrible pit. They are in the miry clay. Their life has been crippled by sin. They are powerless. They are helpless. They have no power, dear ones, against those spirits that have influenced their life. They have no power against the spirits that govern and control their life. They have no power, dear ones, against the lust and against the habits that have taken over their lives. They're helpless. They're powerless. Some of those souls are laying at the gate.
Yeah.
Some of those souls are laying at the gate of getting away into the church. Oh, because we are men and women and boys and girls that have a testimony of salvation. They have a testimony that they are servants of the Most High God. And those individuals are laying at the gate begging and pleading, won't someone please help me? Surely these people can help. Oh, can we tell those precious souls to invite them and encourage them to look on us? We have something to impart to you. We have something to offer you. We want you to gaze at our life. We're inviting you to study our life. We're encouraging you to examine it, weigh it out by the Word and by the Spirit of God. And look at the rich blessings that God has bestowed upon me. I want you to see how the great God of heaven has reached down his hand into that horrible pit of sin, laid hold on my eternity-bound soul, brought me up, and also out of that horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock. He set me in a sure place. He's established my goings. I'm not in and out and up and down. I'm not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. The Lord has established my going. He put a new song in my mouth. He put praises to our God. All people need to see those things that God has done for us and receive to themselves. A precious and priceless.
Amen.
Can we boldly invite souls to look at our lives and receive a blessing from what they see? Or do we fear that if they really study out of life, if they really weigh my life out, come up short.
Yes.
They may behold in me some of the same weaknesses that they themselves possess.
Yes.
Look on us. Look on us. We want those precious souls to see how God broke our seal in our life, and that He can do the same thing for them. God is no respecter of persons. What He has done for us, He'll do for others.
Right.
And we want people to really look at the life that we're living. We at one time were crippled. We were lame.
Yeah.
We at one time were powerless, helpless. We were impotent. But oh, listen, when we made a full surrender to God, when we humbled our hearts and began to plead the mercy of God, God poured His grace down into our eternity-bound soul and broke the power of sin in our life. Oh, folks, He healed us of that lameness. And He gave us power and grace.
Yeah.
All the powers.
So,
look on us. We have something to offer. In 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 5.
We have something to offer you. We can
offer you Jesus Christ, who is Lord of lords. He is King of kings. He is Master, Ruler, Creator of the universe. He is a Savior. He is a Keeper. He is a Deliverer. And we have that to offer to you.
Yes, Lord.
Look
on
that. Are we afraid to make that statement? Are we afraid for people to really look at our life, study our life? Oh, listen, saints, we have the greatest thing that's in existence.
Yes, we do.
And we should not fear to invite people and encourage them to look at us. I want you to study my life. Because I have something to offer to you. In the book of Genesis, the 37th chapter, verses 23 through 28, please. I don't believe Peter and John hesitated in the least to tell that man to look on us. We've got something. That we read for land, it says faltering.
Yeah.
And to falter means to fail in exertion. When an individual has to put forth an effort, when they have to fight, when they have to strive, when they have to press, many people fail.
Yeah.
They fail.
That's
But many of those souls today are begging for death. We realize our condition. And we're needing help. And so they're laying at the gateway to the temple. And they're asking of those of the servants of God, can you help me? Now, Joseph was a man that without doubt could have boldly invited men and women and boys and girls to look on me. I'm inviting you to study my life. I'm inviting you to just weigh my life out. And I'm inviting you to examine it closely.
Yes.
This young man, without doubt, had to exert himself.
Yes.
He had been wronged, greatly wronged. His brethren sold him into slavery. No doubt this young man had to exert himself. He had to fight. He had to strive.
Yes.
He had to put forth a real effort to keep bitterness, to keep hatred, to keep malice, to keep ill will out of his heart.
Yes.
He had to exert himself, folks. And many people fail right in that effort.
Yes.
When they've got to exert themselves and really fight day and night to keep bitterness and hatred out of their heart, they become weary and tired, and they surrender and yield to those things, and they come in and take control of them. But Joseph could invite people to look at my life. Tell me that. I've exerted myself. I've triumphed. I've conquered. I've overcome those things that was set to destroy my eternity bound soul. No doubt this young man had to really exert himself.
Yes.
He was taken, he was sold to Potiphar. And God just poured out his blessing upon that man's house
because of Joseph.
Everything Joseph put his hand to prospered.
Yes.
Now, no doubt Joseph here had to really exert himself to keep out, well, not to keep out, but to have forgiveness in his heart for Potiphar and for Potiphar's wife.
Yes.
I've done you nothing but good. And then you would turn around and treat me the way you do and cast me into the dungeon. And here this evil woman, having lied on Joseph, oh, to have forgiveness in his heart for that woman. Don't you know that man had to exert himself to do it? He had to fight, folks.
Yes.
Oh, the enemy was right there present to tell him how he should consider, how he should hate that woman, and how he should hate Potiphar for what they had done to him. He had to exert himself. He had to put forth an effort. He had to fight against the powers of darkness and evilness.
Yes. And he could very well encourage people. Look on me.
Yes.
Shut my life. Look on me real careful.
I'm not afraid of you finding anything in my life that would be contrary to the word of God. All saints and brethren, can we, with boldness, invite and encourage men and women and boys and girls to look on us? Oh, I have something to offer you. I have something to impart. To communicate to you. I want you to look at the Christ that's in my life. I want you to see what he's done for me, how he's brought me to the place where I am today. And as you behold Christ and his power and his doing, then you're able to reach out to that same Jesus and receive to yourself a precious and priceless blessing. Look on us. I have something to offer in you. I can offer you the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I can offer you the grace of that God. It's a keeping grace. It's a preserving grace. Right in the storms of life, right in the great trials, that grace will preserve, protect, and keep you. I can offer you the same thing that I have received from the great God for look on us.
Yes.
In Galatians, the second chapter, verses 11 through 18, please.
And Peter was come to Antioch.
Yes. Book of Acts, Peter had healed a lame man. but now Peter is lame himself. He had healed a lame man that was physically lame, but now Peter is spiritually lame, crippled. Peter is nerveless. Peter, at one time, Peter had been a powerful man spiritually. Peter had gone on one occasion up on the housetop, and he was praying, and he fell into a trance. And God let down a sheet from heaven, and in that sheet was all manner of four-footed beasts, and he instructed Peter, "Arise, Peter, slay and eat." Peter said, "No, Lord, nothing unclean has ever entered into my mouth." And he did this three times, and he took the sheet back up, and he told Peter, "That which I have cleansed,
yes.
I don't want you to call it common, but I'm clean."
Yes.
And about that time, there were men knocking at the gate, seeking for Peter, and the Spirit instructed him to go with them, doubting nothing. These men were from the Gentiles. They were from Cornelius. An angel had appeared to him, told him to send down to Joppa and get Peter, and he'll preach to you and teach to you the things of God and the way of salvation. So Peter went in. God was dealing with Peter, helping him to see that, "Peter, I have no respect of person. There is no race, color, no race, no color, no nationality, no respect of person." He was breaking down the prejudices in Peter's heart and mind and life. And Peter went, doubting nothing. And he went into the Gentiles. He knew it was against the way of the Jews. But he went right in because God had dealt with him, and Peter preached to those people, and the Holy Spirit came down upon them, and God blessed him, just like he did with you. But now, certain men had come down from James, who were of the circumcision, and they were still dealing with the prejudices. And so when these men came down, Peter came lame, impotent, nervous. He didn't have the nerve to stand up for what was right. He didn't have the nerve to stand against what was wrong. So he separated himself from the Gentiles, and Barnabas and the rest of the Jews were carried away with the dissimulation. But Paul, amen. This man could boldly tell those people, "Look on me. Look on me. I have something to offer. I have something to impart. I have something to give. Valor, courage, Holy Ghost boldness."
Yes.
Paul said, "When I saw that they had not walked uprightly, I withstood Peter to the face, and I let him know that, Peter, you are wrong for doing the things that you've done." Listen, Peter was nervous, folks. He was fearful. But listen, today, we're living in a time where men and women, I want you to see the fearlessness that is the result of the Holy Ghost working in my heart and in my life. I want you to see the courage that God has given to stand against the wrong. Can we invite souls to look on us? Can we encourage them to study our life and see what God has done for us? Examine my life, observe it carefully, and see the grace that God has put in my soul, see the courage that He's put in my soul, and how the Lord is helping me to stand up for what is right and to stand against what's wrong, whether it's in my companion, whether it's in my children, whether it's in my parents, whether it's brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. And so it's wrong.
Amen.
Look on us. Implying and signifying that we have something wrong. And if you'll take close note, looking at my life and seeing what God has done for me, and reaching out, you can receive a precious Christ. In the 16th chapter of Mark, verses 14 through 18.
Afterwards, he appeared to the elect, and they said at me, and upbraid them with their unbelief.
We live in a time of much blindness. People weep, hours. And we're living in a time, dear ones, when many souls are death possessed.
Yes,
so. Jesus said here, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned.
Yes.
And these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, he didn't say that these signs shall just follow the ministry. He said them that believe.
Yes. Yes.
That the saints of God would have power to cast out devils. There are many lame people that's laying at the gate. Why? Because here are people that say that they are servants of the Most High God. They say that they are children of the King, which would give them power in their lives. And surely these people can help me. I'm possessed. I have no power. I'm helpless. The enemy of my soul is controlling me. Will someone help me? Are we afraid to deal with the devils? Are we afraid to let people know, look on us? God has given us power and authority over the powers of hell.
Amen.
The devil is subject to us. And by God's grace and power, we can lay hands on those individuals and we can rebuke those spirits and they have to release that soul. Look on us. We have got the power.
Yes.
Sure.
That we are able to grant deliverance unto souls that are bound by demonic possession.
Yes.
Look on us. Are you afraid? Tell people. Gaze at us. That we have some godly powers, that we are able to do some things for them. Are we afraid of demons? God help us.
Yes, Lord.
God has given us power, old powers of
demons. Yes.
And you don't have to be a person to have that power.
Yes.
Amen. What about also, in closing, many precious souls are lame. Mental.
Yes.
Mental problems.
And so,
but those souls, those individuals are there to help. And the saints of God are the people that can help.
Amen.
Did you know that through prayer, God has done it and He still can do it?
Amen.
He can touch mental conditions.
Yes.
And He can reverse things, folks. And God can deal with the mind and give men and women and boys and girls a sound mind that in time past, that mind has been damaged and crippled by different things, the powers of the enemy, habits, different spirits, and God can restore a sound mind. There are people that are physically lame. And those individuals are begging for help. They're at the gateway to the temple. You people testify that you are the saints of God, that you're children of the Most High God. I need some help. Are we afraid to let people know that we have something to offer you? God has given us, as His saints, the power to lay hands on the sick and they recover. God has given the saints power to cure all manner of sickness and disease.
Yes.
Are we afraid to let people know that we have that power? And yes, God can do those things.
Yes.
And we have that, folks.
Yes.
God is still God.
Yes.
And God is still healing.
Amen. Yes.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
When I was born, Brother Holmes know about this, don't you, Brother Holmes?
Amen.
My knees were backwards. And my legs bent like my arm did. And God wrought a miracle, folks. And He changed them one a night and a day ahead of the other. And they're just like anyone else.
Amen.
I can walk.
fault just like anybody else.
Amen.
God is still a miracle God.
Amen.
He's still able to do great things today.
Yes.
Oh, listen, folks. You and I have something to offer the world.
Yes.
And we need not be fearful to let them know. To look on us. We can offer you something. And that's not the only thing. God has brought miracles for us.
Yes.
And blessed us.
Amen.
He's still blessing us.
Thank you, Lord.
God has done things for probably most of us.
Amen.
Things that were out of the ordinary.
Yes.
So
he's still a miracle working God.
Thank you, Lord.
And we need not be ashamed to be all close to
God. Amen.
That's
wonderful.
We have something wrong.
That's right.
Oh, when we tell him that, the enemy is going to oppose and he's going to fight. But hey, God has given us
victory.
He's given us victory over the powers of the enemy. We can triumph over him.
Oh, yes, we can.
God's people have always been a blessing. There's no reason why you and I shouldn't be a blessing.
Yes.
We're the last people that we